It's Wednesday afternoon, the 28th day of May. On the phone line, as usual, here with the closing market report, Jackie Vakes. It's Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's talk about the marketplace and some of the things that have been happening. And maybe we should start with China, because they were in earlier this morning for a bit of a buy in the bean market.
Well, that's one area that they've been very consistent in, and they bought 110,000 metric tons of new crop beans. You know, they've been quite absent when it comes to anything on old crop beans in general. And so, you know, we saw a little bit of buying coming out of unknown from that standpoint on old crop. But, you know, it's been interesting. They're quite the group. I think if you look at China and Russia, they just inked a 30-year deal on natural gas. And that's been a long time coming. So I think on the bigger playing field, when you look at the broad spectrum that's going on, basically what you're looking at is you're looking at a situation where I don't think you can expect a whole lot of support from China when it comes to Russia and the Ukraine situation. You know, I mean, the gas situation is so important there, and you know, the entire Ukraine situation and the delivery of gas, let's say, to Europe. That's another big thing. And now that we've got China getting along with Russia, you know, we're in a situation where it's just not good. Let's put it that way.
Right. And so as we look at this, what we really end up with, I think, is a battle maybe as we think about what the price of crude oil might be, how things might come about in Ukraine and Russia. And it really is, whether we're talking about grains or oil seeds, all about energies.
Well, it absolutely is. You know, in fact, when you looked at today, we saw crude push over 104, and that's primarily because, you know, the battle just continues to go on in the Ukraine, even though they keep on, you know, threatening more sanctions. We had the presidential election. They claim they're going to talk. Not too long ago, I saw a blurb on the wire that said that there were Ukrainian jets circling an area where the pro-Russian people are. And so, you know, it has an impact on us, whether we like it or not. And so it's not going to change anytime soon.
Let's come closer to home. Yesterday afternoon, USDA released the crop progress report. We'll hear from the state statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Indiana a bit later in this program. But in all, it showed that farmers across the nation finally got caught up for the most part.
They really, really did. And, you know, the one thing about the crop progress, you know, when you take a step back, USDA, in general, when they're looking at making changes to yield projections, basically are in a circumstance where they only look at Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Ohio. And so if that's the case, then when you take and you look at yesterday's numbers, it was very interesting. Those eight states represent 68% of all the planting intentions for corn, and the five-year average is 89% planted. Well, yesterday we were 91% planted in those eight states. And on beans, they represent 64% of the planting intentions. Five-year average is 59%. Yesterday we were at 64%. So, you know, those are significant numbers from the standpoint that they don't guarantee that the USDA is not going to lower the yield for some other reason, but they certainly would imply that they may not come down off of this 165.3 that we're looking at for corn. And so, therefore, we're going to have to lose acres if we're going to expect to get a smaller crop out of that. And I like to watch pasture condition ratings when it comes to wheat and everything else because, you know, it gives you a pretty broad spectrum looking across the growing areas. Wherever there's pasture, basically, there's usually something else growing. And that increased by 2% yesterday, so I'm not surprised that we saw wheat conditions increase. So a lot of good things going out there, too.
Another item that has been chasing the market a bit lower in Chicago for soybeans is the landing of South American beans on North American shores.
Well, you bet. And we had confirmation again that there are more of them coming across, you know. And so we talked this morning. I truly believe we could see the 90 million bushels come into the United States this year. On the opposite side, we've got Argentina again talking with the Paris Club about their debt. And, you know, maybe some people don't know what the Paris Club is. It's really a group of governments that Argentina owes money to, and they basically work with South America. So Brazil also works with them. But they owe about $10 billion to these particular governments, and they defaulted, of course. And so in January, Paris Club demanded they want their money. Well, January, they came. Argentina came back and said, well, here's a strategy, because basically if you take that $10 billion, we have nothing. We're broke. And so it's interesting to see the impact on governments when you don't pay your bills. Billions of dollars have gone out of Argentina since 2007 because of the crazy spending. And, I mean, they went wild with social programs and everything else, and not a way to fund them. And so of the $10 billion, the U.S., Germany, and Japan account for $6.5 billion of that as of 2012. I haven't gotten an updated one. But the ramifications basically are is that they haven't been able to get any credit insurance. They haven't been able to get any loan guarantees. They haven't been able to get any financing from any of the Paris Club members. And so until this happens, we're probably not going to see a whole lot of selling coming out of Argentina.
Let's finish up with livestock, where lean hogs were down the limit at some point during the day today. And then, of course, I don't know whether you want to talk about potential of $200 feeder cattle or not.
Well, I'll tell you what, I do believe $200 feeder cattle is in the future, primarily because it takes a long time to reproduce those little babies, especially after you've gotten rid of a lot of the moms. And so I think that that can happen. But what does that ultimately mean? Well, look at the cattle crush. The implications are horrible. December 14 through April 15, returns are only $45 per head to $73.75. That's gross. And not only gross, it's gross per head.
Mm-hmm.
And June 15 to August 15, when you look at the overall, there the return per head is $6.18 to a negative $5.73. You know, so when you're looking at cattle, what does that mean to all of us? If we feed less cattle, we're going to have more corn available to the market. And on the hog side of things, cash has been backing up. And so anytime you have a lot of speculators in the market, like we do in the livestock complex in general, you're going to see them step up and also do more selling. But, you know, the hog market is a lot like going to Great America. It makes you sick a lot of times.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks. Have a good one.
You too. Jackie Vakes, of course, is with Stuart Peterson, joins us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.